Even when you can't see the face of God, even when you can't see what you perceive to be His hand, trusting God like that is saving faith. Folks, we've been over these last four Sundays talking about this little tract called Steps to Peace with God. There's never been a more important time of worship than October the 24th, 2010, at Olive Springs Baptist Church than this second right now. Because we've come this morning to talk about the fourth step to peace with God, and that is our response. That is the most crucial step, because you see, it really doesn't matter how many times you've read it, how many times you've been in church, how many times you've heard a gospel presentation, how many times that you have worshiped God like you have worshiped God today, unless you have intentionally responded to God through inviting Jesus Christ into your life, you are lost and are paving the road to hell. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't like to hear that in the 21st century. We've got preachers that stand in these pulpits week after week after week and make our people feel warm and fuzzy, and they just feel like they've been to a cathedral and everything else when they leave, but they forget one thing. You'll never hear those preachers tell you there's a hell. You'll never hear one of those preachers tell you that unless you make an intentional prayer to the Lord God Himself by intentionally inviting Him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin, turning from the world to Jesus that will save you totally only, you're lost. You're lost. And so this morning I want to talk to you about response. Oftentimes, y'all, I feel like what we've done is we've boxed God into the way we want God. The song Pam just sang of You Are My God, I see so many of us so many of the time putting God in a little box, and everything is fine as long as God fits into our little box. We call it convenient religion. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to burst your bubble. Well, yes, I do, because the box that you've made for God, He is much bigger than that little box we've made. And we need to see God this morning like never, ever, ever before. You know, I was thinking this past week, 100 years is a very short time. I used to think it was a long time. But the years travel quickly. And all of a sudden, we're past our teenage years and childhood, and then, wow, what happened to the last 40, 50, 60, and 70 years? I think of the biblical lifespan of an individual. The Bible says 70. In those 70 years, and many in the 21st century live far beyond the 70 years, but don't they just seem to go by just like this? And folks, my heart goes back to that demographic study I was telling you all about last week that was done by the Georgia Baptist Convention just a little over a month ago for us within a 1 mile ring or radius of the church and a 3 mile radius of the church. And I went back to get specific figures, because last week the figure I told you was what I told you off the top of my head, what I remembered. But folks, if we look within a 1 mile radius of where you're sitting right now, there are 12,900 people just within a 1 mile radius. Now watch this. If we expand that to a 3 mile radius, the numbers increase to 79,412 people. That's people. And listen to this. In a 3 mile ring, a 3 mile radius, the total estimated group of people not attending worship today in any church is 63,529. If you do the math, that's 79.99959 something else percent, which in my book, ministerially speaking, 80%. 80% of the people within a 3-mile radius of this church are not in worship or anybody's church today. Folks, we don't have all the time in the world to get the job done. I believe we are living in the last days, and yet in this day and time, even in our convention, we are seeing so many people less coming to faith in the Lord Jesus than we did even 30, 40, 20, even 10 years ago. Have we lost our aggressiveness? Have we lost our zeal? Have we lost our worship to worship the true and living God? Or have we boxed God in to the way we want God, and as a result, we've just point blank gotten comfortable? We don't want Him out of our box anymore because that moves us out of our comfort zone. I'm here to tell you, folks, living in these last days, the church is going to have to stand up and be counted. Somebody literally is going to have to stand up and testify like never, ever, ever before. For God I'll live, and for God I'll die. And now is the time in the churches, evangelical churches in America, for that, my friends, to happen. Next Sunday is a premier Sunday in the life of Olive Springs. First of all, we're going to come in here. We're going to go after our Bible study at 9:45 at 11 a.m. and have an incredible time of worship just like today. I won't be preaching a message. You will next Sunday, because we're going to have mics, and Matthew and Doug and I are going to be in the aisles with mics. And folks, we're just going to have a good old praise the Lord time, and you tell us what Jesus has done for you. We're going to have a time next week that's going to be incredible. Then after that service, we're going to go down to Fellowship Hall, have just a celebration, an agape feast, getting ready for a hallelujah harvest. You bring enough food for your family and one, and we're just all going to come together and have an incredible time. And then we're going to have, those who can are going to be back on Sunday evening. We're going to pair us off. Our Hispanic congregation is going to join us. We're going to pair everybody off. And I hope you have been memorizing that little question I've put in that outline for you every week. Have you come to the place in your life that you know for certain that you've intentionally invited Jesus Christ into your life? And if you died today, would you be in heaven with Jesus? Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised we would ever leave this building today. We don't have that promise. You need to know for sure. Not hope, but know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. I think of our scripture this morning, Romans 10:13. It's a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, literally found in Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 32. You just listen to it. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." And folks, when Jesus came to this earth, He provided His only begotten, His one and only Son, to die for every sin that you and I would ever commit, because the wages of sin is death. God's only Son took our death penalty on a cross for you and me. And that's the only reason we can sit in this place today. Because by the covered blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved to eternity. Let me tell you, folks, I hope you, if you don't know Romans 10:13, along with John 3:16, you learn those two scriptures. Will you say it with me again? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now I want you to take your outline with me, and I want to tell you something. I did this outline and finished it this past Monday. I wasn't feeling good. I was in the bed most of the day Monday, and I got it, and I printed it toward the end of the week. And there's going to be a mistake in there that I did. I do all this, and I do the bulletin as well. And so you just watch the outline, because what I'm going to show you on the outline is right, and you can make any corrections that you need to correct this morning on your outline. But I don't think you'll have any problem remembering the outline, because here's the first word. Look at your outline with me. The first word, whosoever. Would you write that word down there? Now, the New King James translation uses the word whoever. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just like the word whosoever. Because, folks, do you hear what that says? Whosoever. The word translates a little Greek word that's actually two Greek letters. An O, which we call an omicron in the Greek, and an S called a sigma. And then we have a little accent mark on the top of it, and it makes it sound like three letters, and the word is hos, literally. And it means it's a reference to any event, any state, either occurring overtly in the immediate context or clearly implied in something. In other words, whosoever means specifically one person, literally. When the scriptures talk about the wise men and they saw the star in the east, this same word is used here because it refers to a specific star. When the word whosoever is used, it means someone specific. It's talking directly to an individual. And the Bible says whosoever, which means I can insert my name there. Connie can insert her name. Our son Michael and daughter-in-law Jennifer and now grandson Griffin can insert their name, and our daughter Bethany and every one of you could insert your name. Whosoever means that any person can be saved no matter what. Folks, if the truth were known, the amount of baggage we bring into this worship service over the last years in our life, over our life, and yet so many people say, I'm not good enough, God will never save me. John Newton said that, the writer of Amazing Grace. He was in the bow of a ship, literally. And he prayed to God and asked God to save him because people were saying he was such a wretch. The term wretch means the bow of the ship that's in the deepest part of the ocean that's sunk, that can't be brought back up. John Newton said, I was a wretch. God saved a wretch like me. Ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely nothing in your past that God cannot forgive. But you have a choice. You can say, no, I refuse the Lord Jesus. Or you can say, as we sang, yes. And two split seconds, or a split second after you die, it's too late to change your mind. Whoever. The second one I want you to see this morning. Fill in these blanks with me, if you will. Shall call upon. That's different from what you have. If you figure this out right now, the outline is the verse, Romans 10:13. I want you to be so familiar with this verse, it'll be written on your heart forever before you leave here. Shall call upon. I love that verse. Whoever calls upon or on. The word call in the Greek is made up of two words. It's a little Greek word we pronounce epikaleo. The word kaleo even sounds like the word call. It means to call specifically to someone. That little word epi, epi on the front of that word, is a preposition, and it literally means to call them unto you, to bid out to them with an urgent, urgent need for them to come. So when the Bible says, whoever calls, I mean in their heart, they call out to God Himself. And folks, we need to understand that we're calling specific. When we come to Jesus Christ, and I did at my house on South Cobb Drive right down here across from Chattahoochee Tech when my house was there as a little 9-year-old boy, I called on the name of the Lord. Now, I didn't hear thunder, and the house didn't shake, and lightning didn't crash. But something happened to me on that Sunday afternoon when I left church with my mother and dad, and they took me in the house and shared Jesus with me. The foundation may not have shaken, and all that may have taken place, you may think, but I know one thing that did take place. The God of this universe left heaven once again and came into the heart of a little 9-year-old boy named Randy Cheek simply because, by faith, he called upon the name of the Lord. Wow. There is no other name under heaven whereby man may be saved. But let me tell you something. God's created us in His image. We have a choice in the matter. God loves us. He's bought us back with the price of His Son, and He still lets us choose. And according to the statistics I just read to you, 80% of the people within a 3-mile radius have chosen to basically ignore God on the Lord's Day. Does that do something to you? Does that break your heart? That we're sitting in a sanctuary about half full if we got us all together? Folks, our purpose ought to be sharing the Great Commission like we've never, ever shared before. And next Sunday afternoon, during our Hallelujah Harvest, we're going to get the chance to share Jesus Christ with over 200 families, 200 people coming on this campus. If it's anything like the last few years, and I hope many of you, if not all of you in this house, can be there with us and share that exciting time that we're going to share together, because it's going to be incredible. The third thing I want to tell you this morning is the third part of the verse. Fill in these blanks. Again, this one's different, but it's the Scripture. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, any of us that call upon His name, who's the name of our Lord, folks? What's its name? Jesus. Say that again. Jesus. Say that one more time. Jesus. Let the Word of God speak for itself. Listen. Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Wow. John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And then Luke, as he wrote the book of Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven whereby man may be saved. And Jesus Himself, as He spoke to Thomas in John 14:6, looked to Thomas and said, Thomas, look at Me. And Thomas looked Him square in the eye, and Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will ever come to the Father but by Me. And then Paul to the church at Philippi, and listen to this, 2:9-10. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and giving Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Wow. I'm going to tell you what, that'll light your fire. And then there's a fourth one. What's the last three words of Romans 10:13? Shall be saved. Ah, yes! When the old 9-year-old Randy Cheek called upon the name of the Lord and God came into my life, He did it exactly, and that God has never left me since a 9-year-old child. And my eternity began when I was 9 years old. Because God started building the house for me one day. My home. I love you folks like my life. But this is not home. We're passing through. This is boot camp for what we're going to experience in heaven together. This is training ground. And yet we live as though, and I am as guilty as anyone in this house, we live as though we actually are going to live forever. And we're not. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that Greek word for saved. It's pronounced sozo. And it literally means to heal, to make whole, to be complete. The consequences of our sin is what? Death. Separation from God. Death. And the Lord says, if you'll just call on the name of the Lord, I'll bridge that gap through the cross for you, because I sent my Son to die for you, and you can begin your eternal life with Me this very second. The psalmist says it like this. He has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Folks, I am blown away when I hear that statement. And I know you've seen that illustration before, and you've maybe seen me share it with you with a globe. If you have a globe of the world, if you travel north, will you ever go south? Yes. If you go north or south, will you ever go north? Yes. By virtue of the fact that this is a round globe, you will do that. But if you go east, will you ever go west? No. If you go west, will you ever go east? People say, why did he say east and west? Now you know the east and west never comes together. Folks, when that whole understanding of God's forgetting forgiveness hits us, God wipes out and obliterates your past, period, when he comes into your life. And that same God is there to cover that sin as you confess it to him every day of your life to that point. I am so glad God is in my life. I am so glad he's never left me. There have been days in my life that I've not so much questioned, but yes, I have, because I've gotten in situations as a young person and then in my life where God allowed me to be put into situations where he allowed me to grow and continue to grow. And he has in recent years, but I'm telling you what, no matter what Connie and I face together, God has never left us. He's been right there with us, and he continues to stay with us. That's the promise of God. When you become a Christian, your life is not a rose garden. Many of you could stand up and testify to that. This morning, let me tell you something. How's your relationship with the Lord? Maybe you don't know him as your personal Savior. Maybe this morning you've been contemplating that decision. You have this little track with you. If you need other copies, we have them down front and as you leave today. But to invite Jesus Christ in your life is a simple prayer by faith. It's a prayer I cannot pray for you. You have to pray that yourself. But I love this little track and this wording of this, because it says, how do we receive Christ? Well, we admit the fact that we are a sinner by nature and by choice. We've already talked about that in these messages. Be willing to turn from your sin, that is, repent, make a complete about face, and trust Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart, not in just in your brain, but in your heart, that Jesus, God sent Jesus to this earth to die specifically for you, and had you been the only person ever to live on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ would have come and died just for you, just like he has for the billions and billions and billions. And then how do you do it? You invite Jesus Christ into your life. Folks, listen to this simple prayer. It's written in this little tract. If you're with someone and you're sharing this with them, you can be sitting beside them and ask that person, would you pray and share with them this prayer? Here's what it says. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinful and I need your forgiveness. And I believe that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. I want to turn from my sin nature and follow you instead. And I invite you, I ask you to come into my heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. The lightning may not flash and the thunder may not roll, but bless God, the Bible tells me that you just set off a party in heaven when a person does that, because the Bible says that over one sinner who repents, the angels of God have a party. Wow. But let me talk to you folks who know you're Christian. You've been saved for many years. I want you to go back to that moment in your life where you intentionally asked the Lord into your life. I'm not talking about a day, date, or place of time. You may not remember that exact second where you were, but you remember the fact that you did. And you remember that experience when you were baptized, and you remember that experience when you came forward to publicly confess the fact that you had invited Jesus Christ into your life. How on fire you were! What kind of zeal was in your body? You wanted to lead this world to Jesus! What happened? What happened? Maybe it's time we say yes to God and say, Lord, I'm your child. But I don't know how many years I've got on this earth. And folks, I don't. I don't know how many minutes I've got left on this earth. I may be dead before we ever get out of this worship service. But I want to tell you something, folks. Do, not only did you know for sure that you're saved, would you recommit your heart and life this morning to the God we've been worshiping since we got here? I want to tell you a true story that happened right here, right here. 2 weeks ago, Ms. Giza Hacker teaches our English-speaking classes. She's been doing that for the last 3 years. She's got over 60 folks on classes now all day on Thursday. A few weeks ago, one of her students who had been for 2 years coming to this class that you've sponsored at Olive Springs, her husband of 27 years went back to Mexico to check on relatives and friends and family. He fell ill while he was in Mexico, and folks, on the way to the hospital, he died. 27 years they'd been married, and she got the word here. She immediately came to Giza, and she shared with Giza the whole situation. Giza had been talking with her for years about her relationship with the Lord, and she did not want to be alone, so Giza and her family took her to their house, and they talked, and they were with her for a day or so, and just sharing to keep so she wouldn't have to be alone during this tragedy that had just taken place in her life. On that afternoon, as Giza was just sharing with her scriptures of comfort, this dear, dear Hispanic lady asked Miss Giza, "Tell me how to know Jesus. You've told me many times, but tell me again, would you?" Folks, a little over a week ago at Giza's home, and I can tell you more stories like this, but this is very true. That dear, dear Hispanic lady got on her face before God, and she called upon the name of the Lord, and God saved her. She's now worshiping in our Hispanic congregation. Amen? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. That's the power of salvation. And that's Romans 10:23. Would you bow your head, just close your eyes, and you talk to God this morning. You make sure in your heart, over these last 4 weeks, one thing I've tried to do and to try to preach under the conviction and power of God is for you to know for sure. I invite you to make sure you're saved today. This could be the last time we worship. And I want you to say yes to God this morning. Perhaps you've been a Christian for 1, 2, 3, 4, 50, 60 years. I don't know. But you just want to say, "Randy, I want to recommit my heart to the Lord Jesus today. And I don't know how many days or how many weeks or years I got left, but I will serve Him as I've been serving Him even stronger with what God has given me." Would you be willing to do that? If you would, I want you to get up out of your seat and want you to come to this altar right now. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you simply pray this simple prayer? "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of the Savior of the world. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive my sin right now." Would you take a stand for Jesus Christ and say yes like never before? If so, I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come down here and stand as well. That's a bold move, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bold move. And in just a minute, we're going to stand our feet. We're going to sing that little chorus we sang just a little while ago that says, "I'll say yes." Folks, you've gave me 240-something names of people to pray for about their salvation for you. And we have that printed for you right now. And if you want to come this morning and you want to kneel, or you want to sit on the pew, or you want to pray for that child, that grandchild, that husband, that wife, that brother, that sister who needs Jesus, will you come right here at this altar and pray like never before? I want you to get out of your seat right now and come. Whatever you need to do, I want you to come and pray for those people that you put on that list. Would you do that? All over this house, will you get up out of your seat, wherever, from the choir, everywhere, and you want to pray for that person that's on your heart? You just pray and go back to your seat, but you come and pray for that person right now. I'll say yes, Lord. That's what we're saying. I'll say yes, Lord. Everyone stand with us. Doug's going to lead us. You continue to come as we sing right now. That's right. I'll say yes, everyone. Praying for that person that you know needs to be saved. Recommitting your heart to the Lord Jesus. Whatever's on your heart, do it today. That's right. That song your prayer this morning. I'll say yes, Lord. Would you?
Say